The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" He said, "Demand you." They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
As we gather each Sunday to worship the living God, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's important for all of us, myself included, to recall in our heart that we entrust the past to God's mercy. We entrust the present to God's love. And we entrust the future to God's providence. And yet, all of us in different ways, as we kind of look at the landscape of our world today, and we take it from our perspective, our subjective perspective, but as we look at the landscape of the world today, we're seeing a lot of childish behavior by adults. A lot of childish behavior. Where's the answer? If we unpack sacred scripture and listen and open the eyes of our heart to our Lord, open the ears of our heart to our Lord, Jesus is the answer. He's the living Word. He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so let's look at, unpack the first reading, Genesis. In that reading, the creation of man and woman, and there's two accounts of that, but we have the account of where from the side of man comes woman. And if we have the wrong perspective of that, it could be kind of like man saying, "Woman, you came from my side." But for you women out there, you got a response that is the best. "Yeah, I came from your side, but I am the crowning of creation." God completed his work with women. And the greatest of all created women in all human beings is our Mother Mary. And we happen to be in her city, Queen City. She's the queen of heaven and earth. It's her city. Belongs to her. We belong to her. Jesus gave us to her. Foot of the cross. But so this idea of really what it is from the beginning, God was showing the complementary aspect of man and woman. The complementary aspect of man and woman. It wasn't until the evil one wiggled his way in there, and basically questioned God. Did God really say? Isn't that how temptation goes? Did he really say? Kinda. And so temptation always comes in as a thought, right? And where we go wrong, where Jesus teaches us not to go wrong, is you cut it off at thought. Remember Peter? Not you, Lord. You're not going to the cross. Get behind me, Satan, Peter says. Or Jesus said to Peter, whoa. He cut it off at thought. I'm not even going that way. In the desert, bread, power, all those things that hit sensuality, Jesus cut it off at thought. Where we get in trouble is conversation with thought. Right? You little ones, this is what I mean. No cookies before dinner. Oh, that's hard, right? But then we walk along and we see the cookie jar. Oh, there are cookies. But then we say, Mom and Dad said no cookies, so we keep walking. Then we say, oh, I just want to look at them. Oh, let me look at them. Oh, those are cookies. Oh, that should. Those are cookies. I need to verify that they're cookies. They're cookies. They smell like cookies too. And got to taste them. Bite. Uh-oh. Conversation with sin where it kind of goes south, right? Because passions kick in, all that stuff. Anyways, that's not the topic of the homily. That's just a warm-up because it's going to go 45 minutes. No. So anyways, God in the beginning intended the complementary aspect of man and woman, right? But the devil wiggles his way in, gets in the thoughts, confuses us, a little smoke, mist, dust. We're grabbing for what we think is good, and all of a sudden, we're empty-handed, like a mirage, which is a fake lake or ocean or water in a desert. And you journey to get there and you're digging. It's like, where is it? It's not real. It's virtual. Let's unpack scripture even further. Let's look at the gospel. In the gospel today, what we see is a lot of times what can happen with preaching in a way is we can go straight to adultery and divorce. That's what the Pharisees brought up, right? They're pointing the finger, aren't they? But isn't it amazing how Jesus points the finger back at them and back at their heart, at them individually, and says it's hardness of heart. What was he after? He was after their heart, and they're pointing at everybody else's heart. Let's take it to a little later on in Scripture, because I imagine this one happened first, I'm pretty sure. You know when they weren't satisfied with the answer that they got? So they said, we're going to put him really to the test. And they brought out a woman caught in adultery. And they put her before him, in front of the crowd. And he who is the truth stood up for her. And he began writing in the sand. The only time Jesus ever wrote in the sand or wrote anything. We don't know what he wrote. But we think most likely he probably wrote their sins. And they all went away from the oldest to the youngest. All those men pointing at that woman. And so what did Jesus do? What Jesus wants to do for all of us and all humanity, looks at her with love. Jesus sees the heart and he looks at her with love and knows what she was created for real authentic love. And he looks at her and says, woman, does anybody condemn you? And she says, nobody, with tears falling down from her eyes. Totally broken. And the light of the world says, I will come into that brokenness and my light will shine through you. Nobody condemns you, neither do I. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He wants more. So he lifts her up and says, go and sin no more. Jesus did not come for the righteous. He came for sinners. And the Pharisees were sinners because they were acting childish. Childish. They were trying to test him. Let's take it a little further, right? They go in the house. The close apostles, disciples. You know how their heads start to swell? It can happen. Oh, I've been following Jesus for all this time. I saw the miracles. Matter of fact, Peter, James, John, he took us up the mountain. He didn't take you up the mountain. He took us up the mountain. He took us here. And then, you think that happened? We know it happened because on Scripture, they're arguing on the way. And Jesus says, who's the greatest? I heard you arguing. He caught him in it. He didn't hear it. They were talking amongst themselves. How about James and John, the sons of thunder? Sons of thunder? You know, when they're walking to Jerusalem with Jesus, they're important people. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian. I'm with Jesus, and I'm walking with Jesus. And you're not. And we're walking through Samaria, and the Samaritans, because they had conflict, would not let Jesus pass through their area. Got to know Scripture. We got to read it, because it'll speak to the today of our life. It'll speak to our Monday and our Tuesday and our Wednesday. So what do they do, those followers of Jesus? They turn to Jesus and say, hey, should we call down fire from heaven on them? Jesus rebuked them for that. They had no idea that his desire was to meet the woman at the well one day and give her living water. The living water that the Holy Spirit poured out on all creation. The living water that we received at our baptism, that we come here, we are thirsty. We thirst for living water. We thirst for God to be our inner dwelling, to show us the way. And so in that home, they're kind of pointing their finger out as apostles. Yeah, look at them. Look at those sinners out there. They're oh so comfortable in their pew. They're not about the lost. They're about their comfortable following of Jesus. That may hurt a little bit to hear that, but Jesus, if you look at the apostles, there wasn't a single moment those disciples or apostles were permitted to get comfortable. He always kept them uncomfortable. So what happens? They're pointing outside and Jesus points back at their heart. After they rebuke the children, I pray that when they rebuke the children, they may have cussed out the children. Like really scolded the children. And Jesus, it said in the Gospels, becomes indignant with their childish behavior. Indignant with their childish behavior. Takes a child, wraps it in his arms, says, you must become like a child. You must be childlike and not childish in your behavior. You want to follow me? Behavior matters. You want to be my disciple? Behavior matters. You must be childlike, not childish. And if we're honest, when we sin, we're childish. We're like our first fathers, Adam and Eve, who hid from God. They were childish. They were hiding from God, and they hid from God in a childish way. But God wants us to come running to his mercy in a childlike way. There is not a single sin on this earth that our beloved Lord, who went to that cross for you and me and all humanity, he cannot forgive. The only sin he can't forgive is if we don't let him forgive us. We don't believe he can forgive us. He's trying to move them to childlike simplicity and away from being childish. I want to share with you a story. And really, in my heart, it's a story of courage. It's a story of rebounding from being childish as an adult to becoming childlike. Back in 2014, I had the grace. I spent many years as a chaplain in a Catholic high school. Another state, don't worry. If you're in this state, don't worry. And it's not just Catholic schools. It can happen in any school. It can happen in Little League stuff. My uncle wrote a book, and his book was entitled For Baseball, because his son played club baseball. God rules the mound. Kids up there praying that they throw strikes. God rules the mound, the devil the stands. That's the title of my uncle's book. That was his reflection of sitting in stands all those years. When people come to our schools, or they come to our play, they come to that. When we go to sporting events or whatever it is, all that, do they know we're Christians by our behavior? We're acting like the world? Probably not. So here I found myself as a high school chaplain, and since 1999, I've been working with youth and seeing things, and I know the struggle, I know the challenge. Worked at public schools, private schools, all kinds of schools. But coaches are a real power in this nation of ours. So I found myself on the sideline at a semifinal game for soccer state championship. So I kind of came down after the part of the game, so I kind of wiggle my way in through the gate, and I get down there, and I'm standing towards the end, and they were playing great, and then it got to the last 5 minutes of the game, and one of the defenders let someone through, and the other team hit an amazing goal, and they scored, and they went up with literally not a lot of time on the clock, and the coach who I knew, who I'd been working with, who had been trying to improve his behavior, which is incredibly beautiful, fired off a booming F-bomb. He mentioned F-bomb in mass. For you little ones, if you ask mom and dad, keep it F-bomb. But why in the world has the culture of sport gone, well, that's the way it is. Sports are like that way. That's the way you talk. You coach the way you were coached. Something's got to change. The change has to be transformational coaches and not transactional coaches. You score the goal. If you don't score the goal, get off the field. If you got any of those coaches coaching your children, get them off the team. Transform the hearts. I believe in you. You can do this. So this coach was working on that, but he had a slip off. Little slip up. Big old F-bomb. Had no idea I was on the sidelines. And I get that every now and then with a collar. Someone drops a major whatever with their mouth, because out of the mouth comes what's in the heart. And then he looks over and sees the collar. And everybody wants to apologize to me. Dude, I'm just as broken as you. If I'm not careful on the golf course, it can come out. That little white ball gets the best of me sometimes. Why do I let that little white ball get me so mad? Why don't I just pray about it and grow in virtue? So anyways, it was like I could see in the back of his head. And don't worry, I can't see in your head, okay? But by his bodily action, it's like I was looking right in his head, and you could hear tick, 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 tick. He's like, Father's over there, Father's over there, Father's over there. What do I say? What do I say? I don't know. I blew it. And he's going. So then he finally musters up the courage, and he comes over to me, and he says, hey, Father. He was downcast. He says, I'm sorry. And I looked at him, and I said, Coach, you don't need to apologize to me. Apologize to Almighty God. To those young teenagers that you're coaching, and to those parents in the stands who heard that come out of your mouth, I don't need an apology. Rest of the game went, they ended up losing the game. Typical thing, high school, seniors crying, cleats coming off, parents gathering around trying to encourage their kids. And the coach made a change from being childish to childlike. At the end of it all, he said, you know what? I'm working on something in my life, and it's cleaning up my mouth. My behavior as your coach matters. We're here at a Catholic school. I apologize for the language that I used. I apologize to you teenagers that are playing, because I need to set an example so that you don't do the same. I apologize to you parents who wouldn't tolerate that type of behavior in a classroom. I apologize, because I know someday you're going to be fathers of families, and I don't want you firing off in your children that way, because you'll regret it. God can forgive it, but it's something that I'm working on. Or maybe you'll be in boardrooms or leading things, and you're going to fire off in that way, and you're going to regret it. Behavior matters. Behavior matters. So here's it. If you remember anything about this homily, anything, Let us hold on to this week. Father, Mike and I are going off to our retreat in the mountains thanks to you, because you make that possible. It's a sacrifice for you. Those who come to Mass won't have Mass this week, Monday through Thursday. They'll have a communion service at 9. Still receiving Jesus, but it's not Mass. But we're going on retreat. And this is what I'm going to turn over the whole retreat. Bring back better behavior. Bring back better behavior. That's what a retreat's all about. Convert. Holy Spirit wants to convict me on my retreat. Holy Spirit is going to invite me to go to confession to receive His mercy, which by the grace of God, with the amazing priests we have, I'm able to do that. I try once a week. Why? To bring back better behavior first in our hearts, then in our domestic churches, in our homes. Then bring back better behavior to our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our better work. To imitate Jesus as His followers, as His disciples. To follow Him who tells us from the cross, behavior matters. Model me. That's what will change the world. One heart at a time. And I know as a priest, I'm not going to change a single person. I don't have that capability. Neither do you, parents. But the Holy Spirit can help us. We bring that change. We bring back better behavior to our hearts. That better behavior will impact and ripple out like a stone going into water. So here's the invitation for you and for me. Can I hold that thought? Bring back better behavior. And identify one fruit of the Holy Spirit that we can bring forth from our heart this week. There's 12 of them. And I'll close with the 12. Look them back up. Goodness, kindness, gentleness, generosity, peace, patience, joy, charity, modesty, chastity, faithfulness, self-control. And that's awesome. I see a little one doing her fingers. See? Called to be childlike. Jesus calls us to bring back better behavior. Because behavior matters.